Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, that's nice and loud. A good, crisp, clean start to today's pod. And how are you, Miss Judith, today?
Oh my God, you sound so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
It won't last.
It's terrifying.
It won't last.
Oh my God.
I think
I'm all right.
10 minutes in me. Probably got 10 minutes in me. And
is that all?
Probably, and then I might have to break for a poo.
Yes,
we started this pod, I said to you, I think I might need a poo, but it seems to have retreated.
I'm Jenny, stop it.
No, I'm not.
I mean,
stop
come
it.
On, there's an overshare and an overshare.
No. If they can't handle that, can't handle anything, grow up. Oh, God. Anyway, I have heard that you've been freezing your nuts off in your house. What's going on?
Yes. I mean, you know how cold it's been of late. I mean,
of late? It has.
Yes. So I the worst week ever to have run out of fuel, do you not think? No heating in the house.
This is because you're on an oil burner, are you not?
Well, we are because, you know, and before you start saying what about mains gas, we live rurally here. I know you don't know about things like that. There's no gas into the village. So you have to have the bleeding oil tanker delivery. And what happens is the kind of dial thing that says how much oil you've got left broke. So we didn't know we were running out. And all of a sudden...
God in heaven.
Yes, all of a sudden you think... Well, the heating's not coming on. What's... Oh. Yeah, then you realise. So thank God we've got a immersion heater and we've got...
So you can have hot water.
Oh, I mean, without that, we'd have to move out.
Do you live in a bath? Do you just live in a hot bath?
Oh,
that's what I do.
Would it? Yeah, but you say that. It's the cold bathroom afterwards. That's actually the worst bit, is the cold bathroom. Oh, horrible.
I tell you what I can't stand as well is because of the cost of living. You know, we've turned off our, you know, the heated towel rail. We turned that off as a money-saving thing.
Well, yeah.
I'm sick to fucking death of slightly damp cold towels.
Oh,
get
I know
out of
what
a nice
mean.
Hot bath.
Yes.
And then you wrap yourself up in it just, oh.
Yes, not the same.
It just reminds you of going swimming when you were at school and you didn't take your towel out of your duffel bag.
Oh, God, yes.
And you're just using it week after week. It's disgusting.
Do you know, I'd forgotten all about that. From your duffel bag. Duffel bag out and there it was. You think, oh, shit. And a nasty, rancid, damp costume.
Yeah,
what
was your duffel bag? Mine was navy blue with a white plastic trim.
Oh, well, they all had plastic trim, I think. I think mine's been burgundy. I loved my duffel bag. I adored my duffel bag.
That burgundy is so 70s.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can see the colour.
Can you? Listen, can you?
I might be coughing and wheezing a bit. I went back to the doctor's, Judith. The bloody post-nasal drip is back.
Oh, God.
That's what
boring,
it's been. You know, it's so boring. Or, get this, it's either post-nasal drip or silent reflux.
Silent? Now, wait a minute.
Are you fucking pointing that?
Are you encroaching on my acid reflux territory here?
Oh, I don't want to, Judith. It's not sort of something I'm desperate to catch, to be quite honest with you. I can
you
do
sure?
without it.
Are you sure you don't want that badge as well? What do you mean? Say it again. What was it again?
Silent reflux.
Silent reflux. I think they're just telling you things to say to make you go away and think you've got something fancy there, Jenny. I'm sorry.
Well, I thought, normally when I get a bit of reflux...
Yes.
I'm a burper when I reflux. Tiny burps like that.
Okay.
And I haven't got that. So the silent part is correct, but I just don't think I've got it. I just think I've got another dose because I had it in spring and I said, listen, I think I had this in spring. She said, oh, once you've had it, like that, like a bit doom laden, once you've had it, it tends to recur. And I just thought, take me out into a field and shoot me, I tell you. So, what are you wrapped up? Have you got a hat on?
Wrapped up. Have you got what?
Have you got a hat on?
Got a hat on at the moment as we speak, absolutely. And my gilet and tights and trousers.
Oh, I don't know how you can do
well,
that.
Well, there's no choice. You say that, it's bleeding cold. But you know what I did the other day? It was up in the loft, more of the loft later. I thought, oh, I think my mother used to have an electric blanket. So I found it. Honestly, I haven't opened it up since she's died. So I don't know whether you've ever... Did you used to have an electric blanket?
No, no. And I'm not sure whether my parents did. No, I don't. You know, they were very northern, Judith. I think they believed in children being hardened off in the frost.
Yes, I know what you mean. Well, yes, I think my parents were much softer than that. And they definitely had. And I had one when I was little.
Yes, but you were very spoilt.
Well,
you
were right. doted upon,
spoilt little princess with golden hair. That's what you were. And you've never grown out of it.
You were just jealous of my burgundy duffel bag, aren't you? That's all it is. Yes, you do like to rub that in, don't you? Okay.
Yeah.
But, all right. Guilty as charged to an extent. But I have redeeming features is what I'm going to say. Yeah. Anyway, I got the blanket out, Jenny. And it worked. You know, I thought, oh, great. Plugged it in. And...
not sure about the health and safety of this blanket.
Oh, well, I know. I didn't leave it in all night. My father always just said, never leave an electric blanket in overnight, because I think in theory you can. Oh, no, you have to turn it off before you get it in. But I think I made a noise when I got into it for the first time, which was sort of pornographic. It was absolutely fantastic. I really did.
Nice.
I did.
So you're basically saying that your mother's old electric blanket is your equivalent of my banister rail.
Well, yeah, and in a way, I think as we get older, it might be more accessible than the banister rail situation.
I think you could be right. I think that it could be... Sorry, I'm burbling a bit here. I think you're right, and I think it could lead to less accidents. The banister rail, especially when you're as heavy as I am, I sometimes look at banister rails and I think, I don't think it could take me. I don't think... It could take me. It's a bit flimsy. Listen, if you'd want a portable heater, that one I got last year from John Lewis, I'll take a photograph of it and send it over, because not only is it very attractive, it heats a room up very quickly. Very quickly.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, we've got them all over the house now.
I'm not going to worry about you. No. We've got the underfloor on constantly. Which is, I don't know when the bill's going to come, because it make me feel a bit like sick's going to come up. But we have to have it on when Arlo's around. Still not walking. So considering he spends all his time on his arse.
Oh, yes. He needs a nice warm
surface. Bum. Yes. I mean, that might be one of the reasons why he doesn't get off his arse.
Do you know?
Because it's nice and toasty.
Why bother?
He sits there warming up his bum. But he can stand now for a couple of seconds, but he doesn't like it. He looks really panic-stricken, and he just drops down onto his haunches as quickly as he can. I know. He's very, very good. His new thing now is animal identification and noises.
Golly, I mean, it's quite hard for me to not feel a little bit challenged here, because, I mean, he's obviously doing extraordinarily well on this, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? I mean, he's you know...
As long as he's sitting down, he can do all sorts of things.
Yes.
But try and get him up on his feet. I don't know. I mean, you know, lots of children are dyspraxic, aren't they? You know, when they're really, really clumsy. I mean, I just don't know when that starts to manifest itself. I really don't.
Well, I think it is a bit scary. I mean, getting up and kind of tottering along when they first start, obviously, as you know. I mean, it must be a bit like walking on a ship's deck that's
loads younger than him are doing it. I think he's just a bit of a coward, but there we go. Anyway,
He's very busy with his shapes
and, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, what should I get next? What should he be playing with next? You know, because he needs to be constantly doing something. And then I turn my back for a second, because he comes around Tuesdays, and his happiest hour was spent when he climbed into, you know, when your dishwasher lid is down and it's a bit swampy.
Oh, yes.
Your drainer isn't draining properly because there's too many beans and peas in it.
Yes.
And you just don't want to put your hand down there. Yeah. And he climbed into the swampy lid and spooned dishwasher water into his mouth, and he was really, really happy.
Of course he was.
Yeah, but I was very clumsy on Tuesday. Right, I spilled an entire bottle of soy sauce.
Oh, soy sauce.
Yeah, yeah. But the good thing, the interesting thing about if you're going to spill an entire bottle of soy sauce, it just does a sort of solid lake because it's quite sticky. It didn't drip down. It just pooled onto the work surface and stayed. I sort of felt quite glad that it was soy sauce. Anyway, and then I went to Mark's, kicked over poinsettia, we had them near the floor, kicked one over and I trampled on it.
How did you manage that?
I don't know. I was just wheeling the pram around and I'd knocked this poinsettia over and then I trod on it. Mm. It was one of those sickly white ones. They've got those out this year.
I'm sorry.
What's that all about?
No, you know, pointless.
I don't know what poinsettia's for, to be honest.
Oh, no, I like it. No, I'm sorry. I'm not having that. I like a poinsettia, as I call them.
No, I'm not having a poinsettia.
Oh, what, you? No. Yes, a bit naff, are they?
Oh, they're totally naff.
Well, that's why I like them and why you don't like them.
I must have told you that story about my grandmother, Nana, the pretty one, not the one that looked like a big old toad. My mum's mother, yeah, Jenny Jones, mill girl made good. And when she was widowed and she eventually moved into a flat on the front at Lytham, and there was a gentleman that lived next door, and he was a few years older than her. And she was very working class, but, you know, they did well, her and Tommy. So she had money. And Hubert Woolley lived next door, and he invited her into his flat when she just moved in. And it was Christmas time. He said, "Do you want to come into my flat and see my poinsettia?" She didn't know what he was talking about. And she's like, "Oh, I don't think so."
Hilarious. Yeah. That's really, really, that really does sound like a euphemism, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I don't blame her for being a bit scared about that. Yeah. No, I can't see the point of the white ones. Just before we leave the twins and baby food, I just want to say, actually, that the other day I had the twins in Sainsbury's and we took them out of the pram, and you know, to wear them out a bit, and it was a fucking nightmare. Anyway, I've grabbed a packet of chocolate buttons and decided to to see whether they'd like them, and that would keep them quiet. I have never seen... It was like heroin. It was terrifying. Really? Well, yes! I don't think they'd actually had any chocolate before. They're probably not allowed it.
No, and, Arlo's definitely not had any chocolate because it's got milk in it, so you can't. He'd have to have vegan. And do you know how much vegan chocolate? He's not having that.
Is it terribly expensive?
It's so expensive. Anything vegan, you know, like a vegan sausage roll or a vegan whatever, vegan pastry, vegan that, it's so expensive. In the end, I got a bag of vegan grated cheese, and in the end, all he had for his tea, he ate grated vegan cheese out of a cup on the floor.
Kept him happy. So what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Now, listen, you came to London and you didn't come to see me. I don't know what you were doing. You came to London and there was a photograph of you in your flimsy leopard skin boots.
God, you know that thing when you leave the house? Yeah. And... like I'd not even pulled out of the drive, and I thought, oh, I've got the wrong shoes on, haven't I? It was kind of wet, soggy, you know. You know what it's been like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just had the wrong shoes on all day. I got to the station that was already got wet feet. You know, that horrible kind of...
Yeah, it never leaves you for the whole day. No, it's just that lingers all day long.
Yep, even down to my tights. And by the way, did you notice I put something, a picture of my shoes in a sort of puddle, because I was describing, you know, the situation I was in on the notice board. Two or three people said they thought it was me being caught short.
Even if it ever happened, which it doesn't, we're very good like that, you and I.
Been quite close.
We're very good.
Quite close.
Well, you sometimes have to resort to the garden when you can't find your keys. But I don't think you'd put it up on the notice board. If you had puddled as hugely as that puddle you were standing in, I don't think you'd be showing off about it.
You're right. No, I wouldn't. Just so that the gang know, that's right, I wouldn't. But... it was a miserable... I mean, I had a nice day. I did two very, very different things. I went to Groucho's in the morning.
Did you have lunch in
Groucho's? No, I didn't have lunch. But it was like stepping back into sort of my previous life.
Did you feel like Alice in Wonderland? Did you feel like you'd fallen down a rabbit hole?
Oh, I so did.
Did you have a line of Coke?
Of course I did. did I have a line of coke? No, not like anyone's going to offer me any coke. They probably just thought, what's she doing in here? It reminded me of my old life, but it was very, I mean, I didn't, you know, hardly knew anybody there anymore. In fact, I stopped this lovely guy. There's a young guy there with curly hair. I was convinced it was Vic's son, Henry, Victoria Wood's son, Henry. And I saw him go past and I waited for him to come past and said, hello, are you Henry? Is that Henry? And he said no, but he kind of didn't only just say no, because obviously it wasn't Henry, but he kind of recoiled. It was like, he almost sprung back as if to say, oh my God, I don't want a conversation with her. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Do you know what? I spoke to a young man today on the street because he waved at me. I think it was a case of mistaken identity on both sides, because I thought he was the daughter of a friend of mine around the corner. It turns out, I'm as blind as a bat. It was a bloke with a corgi. Corgis are back in fashion, Judy.
Are they really?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Oh, no. They're supposed to be a bit nippy, aren't they? That was always the story when the Queen had all those corgis. Isn't they quite aggressive?
I thought they were quite yap, 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 yappy. Yeah, yeah. Well, if you've got a corgi and you want to put us right, you feel free to put us right.
You see that your animal impressions, Jenny, I'm sorry, but they are bloody good, aren't they?
Well,
I mean, we've said this before, but I think, you know, if times get bad, you've got a little piece there. You've got a side.
I'm practicing. Arlo does make me practice. He does. My duck is impressive. I think I did that for you last week.
Well,
I'll just do. You're there, aren't you?
I'm just there. I'm throwing bread in. You know what I mean?
You're not allowed to throw bread in anymore.
Oh, aren't you? Oh, for fuck's sake.
No.
Well, aren't you?
It's all over. Don't feed the birds. Don't feed the ducks. No, you're not allowed. Oh, do you remember all that stale bread we used to chuck in the ponds? Not allowed to do that
absolutely
anymore. So, okay.
Yeah.
You were in the private members club, obviously meeting a private member.
Yes, yes. It was nice. And then I went to do something completely different. I went to meet the people at Fine Cell, which is that charity that you and I are both very enthusiastic
about. We're very fond
about.
Of, yes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Where they send in volunteers to embroider and quilt into prisons. And the work's amazing. I mean,
They do the upholstery of my cushion covers. So all the cushion covers I've tapestried, I've always sent them to Fine Cell because they get them worked up into cushions in the prisons.
Oh, I didn't know that you sent them there. That's great,
Jenny. I've been telling you that for 10 years. And there's just sometimes when I stray onto your patch, you just switch off. You just think, well, Jenny wouldn't do that. She wouldn't know this charity. She wouldn't use it properly. So I'm just not going to believe her. La, 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 la. Yes. I actually knew Fine Cell before. And the offices they've got now used to belong to my friend Susie and Alistair. They used to have a carpet business and owned all that little industrial unit there.
It's a lovely little spot.
Town Road, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Right opposite the Loaf showroom, I noticed.
Yes. Did you go into Loaf?
Oh, well, no, because I'm over Loaf, you know.
Yeah. You picked your sofa from sofa. Your allegiances lie elsewhere on the sofa front.
Indeed. But I thought, great offices, lovely people, great team. And, I went into the stock room. I was shown into the stock room. Remember, this amazing stuff. It's all absolutely beautiful. And I bought a little Santa for the tree.
And which tree is this, Judith? Is this the fake Christmas tree or is it a nice smelling real tree?
Jenny, I've been outmaneuvered. Brilliant. Oh, there you go again.
Yes.
Sticking up for Mike. Okay, yes. Shall I tell you now what happened? Okay, so people who listen to the drivel that we
the
do.
Tree
this,
saga.
The tree saga. Last Christmas was so pissed off with all the pine needles and the mess of it and everything. But I sneakily bought an artificial tree in January and then sort of put it up in the loft without saying anything, and thought that I would get it out and I would present him with a fait accompli before he could get the real Christmas tree up, because, you know, he wasn't going to give way and everything. So so there it was. So we were up in the loft the other day and I thought, right, I'm going to have to get this down because I can't do it on my own. So I lined up all the Christmas sort of decoration boxes and, you know, secreted it amongst them and said, oh, you know, all that needs to go down. So it all went down. I thought, well, you said nothing. He hasn't said.
Yeah, but he's not a fool. He's not a fool. He will know the difference between a box of Christmas tree decorations and an actual Christmas tree, Judy.
Well, I didn't think he did, you see. And I don't, okay. I don't think he usually listens to the podcast because obviously I'd shared this with the gang, hadn't I? And normally when he listens to the pod, he comes back and says, oh, I listened to the pod, but he didn't say anything about that week. So I thought, oh, okay, I've got away with it. And he didn't say anything about it. So anyway, the other day I thought, right, okay, this is the day when I've got to get it out. I've got to get it all up before he goes to buy this bleeding real tree. I couldn't find it. I thought, where's that gone then? He's hidden it, hasn't he? He knew exactly what was going on. Not only had he listened to the pod, he was waiting for me to do it.
So he's hidden the artificial tree somewhere on the premises. Have you not found it yet?
Oh, I found it. Don't you worry. I found it.
So, garage?
So, no, it was under his desk, but very, very well hidden, right? But I didn't find it in time to do it before he came back. So then I hid it, okay? I hid it. And then I went to London. I thought, okay, well, maybe it's gone away as a problem. He kept saying to me during the day when I was in London, what time are you about? You eating? What time are you about? And I thought, why does he keep asking me that? Oh, I know why he's asking me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure enough, he's completely outmaneuvered me and the bloody thing's up.
I like it. Well done, Mike. No, that is a beautiful piece of manoeuvring. It really
it
is.
Oh, it
yeah,
is.
No, I think you just have to give up and give into that. You just have to say, no, Mike, you won. You won this year's Christmas tree. What I think you're going to have to do then is tempt him out next year on December the 1st on some errand, you know what you like, with a list. You're just going to have to preempt it, Judith. You're going to have to send him out on some little errand and whip it up.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is, I mean, you could put the, to get him used to the idea, you could put the artificial one up in another room.
Oh, no, I can't be bothered with that. I mean, the whole point
it's
is to,
a bit
is
over
to
the
cut,
top, isn't
is to cut
it?
Down on all the bloody work. Yeah. It does look quite nice. I mean,
have you put up the felt one for the twins? Or have they got that at their house?
Oh, yes, they have. Oh, Jenny, thank you so much. It's at their house and they had a lovely time with it. It's really, really, really nice of you to send it. Thank you. And
it
I should have taken a photo, doesn't it?
It does work.
It's brilliant. Yeah. They all stick on beautifully. And no, it's a very clever idea. I will send you a photo of the...
Good. Yes, I'm glad. Well, I actually think that... there will be people at home applauding Mike at this point, and I think, Judith, you just have to bow to it. So is there anything else you need to tell me about your day in London?
I saw Ellen for supper. And,
oh, my goodness, you had a
proper day with my soggy shoes
and soggy ties. Have been exhausted by the time you got in.
Oh, I was. I was exhausted and it was very nice to see her and I went to meet her in the office. Obviously, I wasn't allowed to, in the office, but, you know, in the reception area.
Yeah.
And it's very, I mean, it always reminds me how grown up they are. Do you know what I mean? You just, and out she came looking gorgeous and a young woman. She's of course she is.
Yeah, they're in their 30s, Judith. Our daughters are in their 30s and we just have to accept it.
I think, particularly with the little one, it's different with you because you've only got Phoebe, but I suppose she's always and going to be your little one.
Yeah, and she's very small. She is very small.
That's
from behind,
true.
She could pass for 12, and then she turns around that bad-tempered face and all this, telling me off.
Mother's daughter.
Yeah.
But yes, it is. It reminded me. And it was lovely to see her. And went to Wagamama's and I said to her, I always order the wrong thing in Wagamama's. Please, could you order me something that you think I like? And I, for the first time ever, I really enjoyed what I had. And I had the grilled duck donburi. Donburi.
Isn't it donburi? I've no idea. I'm teasing Judith. I've no idea. Grilled duck donburi. Okay.
Okay. Lots and lots of vegetables. And
was it like in a soup? Was it a soup?
No, and that's always what I do with Wagamama is I inadvertently order the soup and then it's this wishy, you know, it's too...
It's a bit dishwasher. It's like what Arlo likes. Yeah,
well,
dishwasher water.
Yes, exactly. So this was solid and lovely and filling and it had a fried egg on the top.
Ooh, but was it on rice?
Didn't have the rice because I'm still going through this charade of not having any, but they asked for lots of vegetables and they gave me lots of vegetables, which was also very, very lovely.
I don't like the idea of a fried egg on top of duck.
Well, I know, yes, on paper you'd think no, but it's good. Still thinking about it. You know when you have something really good?
Yeah, to yeah, yeah. Just well, I haven't had anything nice this week, to be quite honest. Well, Jeff and I had to go out. We'll do more of that in Culture Corner. We had to go to the theatre twice last week. And one night, we found ourselves in the Barbican car park at 6:30 at night. And I don't know that area very well at all. And I didn't know what would be open at the Barbican.
No, it's a bit empty.
So I
now,
just
though,
I just packed as a little picnic.
Well, when
When I say I packed as a picnic, I found some leftover pork pies, mini pork pies, in the fridge. And I took a bag of crisps and an apple each. That was the picnic.
Mustard? Did you put in a mustard?
No,
in
no,
there?
No, no, no. I mean, you know, it was a half-hearted, shambolic affair, Judith. It was, you know,
not bad. Yeah, go
but
on.
There was for a moment. You know, when sometimes you just think I could live in this car. Sometimes when you're just in the car and it's all cosy and no one can get you, and you're in an underground car park, and it's a bit like, you know, you just think, no, I'm safe here. I'm really safe. And then you think, oh, but I've got to go and see a show now. I've got to get out of the car. But I have to say, Judith, I have been buying Jeff these mini pork pies. I'm not going to name names, but I thought they were a treat. And he's been, you know, manfully eating these things. And I had one for my picnic.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a load of shit this is.
Oh, really?
Really? Poor quality. Ooh. It was like paste. It wasn't like a proper pork pie.
Oh. So was it a bit lightweight on the pastry front?
No, the pastry was solid, soggy. Okay. I don't mind that. But the filling, the consistency felt like it had been piped in.
Oh, Jenny. Oh,
I know,
dear.
I know. And I turned to Jeff. I turned to him and I said, I will not buy you these anymore, Jeff. They are not of a good enough quality. And then I went elsewhere and I bought him a proper larger size pork pie. You know what? You can cut and come again. Cut and come again. Yeah.
Well, it depends how greedy you are. But yes, are we talking Melton Mowbray?
Yes, of course we are. Yes, of course we are. You know, if you're going to have a pork pie, have a proper fucking pork pie.
Absolutely.
So whilst we're on Taste Sensation of the Week, Bernie, age 59, contacted us to say that on LNER trains, they have introduced a Christmas coleslaw within a sandwich.
A Christmas coleslaw?
Yes. Red cabbage and cranberry.
Ooh. Yeah. That sounds good.
Yes, she thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That's one to watch out for.
Bloody hell. Well, I tell you what, that's particularly impressive, having spent the whole day going to Sheffield and back also this week on like literally about 6 or 7 trains. I mean, you couldn't even got to a buffet trolley, let alone
But there was a buffet trolley.
Well, yeah, but each train. Oh, sorry, I'm just going to have to let Rip here for a minute. I just am going to have to let
go on, Judy. You vent.
Shall I? Okay.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, return ticket. Booked it months ago, £100 return.
Is that using Sheffield. Your little old lady card?
Yes,
as well?
So it would have been more if you weren't an old lady. All the trains, because I had lots of changes. All the trains.
Can you not go direct to Sheffield?
No, you can't. No. You have to go via Birmingham or Banbury, or you have to go to Wall Street and walk. And anyway, that wasn't my particular problem. The problem was every single train that I was on had 2 or 3 carriages, right? You're standing on the platform and it says, you know, this train consists of 2 carriages. And then you think,
two? Right, that's not enough.
Well, quite. So you think, well, there are about 100 people of us here on this platform. Yeah. And we're all going to have to get on. And it's not starting here. It's not originating here, is it? So there's going to be people on there.
Did you have your elbows out, Judith?
Oh, you needed more than that. I tell you, it was so bad in Birmingham because you know the platforms are really long in Birmingham, and kind of we didn't know. It's like, well, what do? Do I go in the middle? Do I opt for that side or that side? And it was just the luck of the draw. I mean, people who were sort of, to use the biblical term, lame, hopeless. And then...
Sorry. Trampled. They were trampled over.
Well,
you trampled the lame.
No chance.
Did you trample the lame, Judith? Is that part of this event that you need to admit to our listeners that you were lame people trampling?
No, but I had to stand for a lot of the time and...
Well,
you know,
then they should give you your money back. You bought a ticket to sit on a train.
I know. That's what people were saying. But worse than that, on one of the legs, I thought, well, I'm not going to get on. You know, I'm just not going to get on. So I raced down... to the first class entrance, because I always thought that if there was nowhere to sit, you could kind of sit in first class. And I said to the guy, well, look, can I just at least get on? I don't mind trying to walk down, but can I just get on? And he said, no, if you've got a first class ticket, not allowing you even onto the train.
That's rude.
Isn't that terrible? Yeah.
I mean, it's disgraceful, because if they want people out of their cars, they have to sort this nonsense out. I mean, is the point in having empty seats? Who gives a shit? Nobody pays for a first class ticket. It's always on expenses. Nobody really cares. You know, as long as you behave yourself, you know, nobody really cares at all. It's an absolute outrage, Judy.
It is.
It really is. Yes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So what were you doing in Sheffield?
I was giving, I give talks sometimes to, kind of lunch ladies clubs and a lot of WI talks, as you know, and I'm available to hire if you want me to go.
Well, we're all available to hire, yes, Judith, I tell you that.
Yeah.
Did you get a decent lunch?
Got a decent lunch, yeah, my first turkey dinner.
Sprout stuffing.
Oh yes, and a nice sausage. Yes, very nice. By the way, I was thinking that this year, what we should do is you and I should take a photograph of what we eat at Christmas lunch for comparison purposes.
That's because you think that I'll be balancing something out of a microwave on a magazine on my lap in front of the telly. You've thrown down that challenge. I actually think that Jeff and I might be hosting my sister and one of her sons. We're all going to Wales later on. But the actual Christmas Day, I think my sister and one of her sons is in London. I'm not sure where Phoebe
that
is.
Sounds
I don't ask.
That sounds rather select, Jenny. That sounds to me like you can't really go for the sort of mass catering. But you might have to do something quite... More than capable.
It'll be two chicken crowns. Know. Jeff is very, very good at a chicken crown and roast vegetables. We can pull that off. Yes, we might even set a table, Judith. We might even set a table.
Well, okay. Well, the challenge is down. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay. I've made my own Christmas cards.
I thought you were going to say Christmas cake for a minute.
Don't be ridiculous.
Have you really? Well, yeah. I am. I'm impressed.
I've got a little production line going. Very simple, very cheap. The most expensive thing about these cards will be the stamp on the envelope. And they are all going to be second class stamps, because that's another fucking ridiculous nonsense.
Words fail me, really. Well, I'm looking forward to my homemade Christmas card, assuming that I have one that came off the production line.
You will definitely have one. But you won't be getting a stamp, because I'm seeing you next week. I shall bring one to you. And one for Daisy, and one for the Avalon office. Keep them sweet, Judith. Keep them sweet. Okay, we are now moving on to Culture Corner. Film. Oh, sorry, I did a little fart when I said, this is how baggy my cheeks are these days. I went, film, like that. Anyway, you've been to see a film. I'm very impressed by you, Judith, this week. You've been a busy girl.
Oh, I have been a busy girl. Yes, I have. Went to see a film called Saltburn,
This is Emerald Fennell's second film.
Yes, and it's got Richard D. Grant in it and Rosamund Pike, and it stars Barry Keoghan. But basically,
is
we
that
want to
how
see
you
pronounce it,
Barry
Kirby? I don't know. I don't. Oh, you are on it today, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
I don't know. I don't know. We went to see it basically because it's about an Oxford student who, you know, comes from a pretty ordinary background and falls in love with the
kind of
insect.
Is this a sort of modern day Bride's Head wannabe?
It is, but it becomes very dark. It's a black sort of thriller as well. I mean, it's got some very, very good lines in it, and the guy that he falls in love with, basically. I mean, in lots of different senses, not just a sort of lover sense, but then that gets very complicated. But he's enchanted with, infatuated with him.
Yeah.
And that world is so beautifully portrayed, really, of the rich Oxford student mob that come from these sort of stately parts.
Yeah, I'm not sure there are that many in reality anymore.
No, but I suppose they cluster in the film around one particular guy who obviously is, you know, heir to this massive pile. And you know, the people that he's kind of in with, really, the sort of his set. But it does get very, very
and is
dark.
It set now, or is it
yes.
a sort of...
Yeah,
okay,
I think
okay.
it might be too... It might be slightly... It's a few years ago, because I think their mobiles were a bit weird. But yes, relatively recently. It's a very divisive film in the sense that it does go very, very dark. And it's very unusual for me to come out of a film. And the lights went up, and literally I looked around, because I talked to everybody there, and kind of said, well, what do you make of that?
More people should do that, Judith, you know. I'm glad you did that.
Yes.
Because what I can't stand after a film or a theatre piece is that weird silence that suddenly descends. You just go, surely somebody's got something to say about this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it was very good, because other people were thinking the same thing. And what, you know, but there were also people that thought, oh, no, I didn't think it was about that. I thought about this. And yes, it sort of, we had a bit of a conversation about it.
A debate.
Well, yes. I mean, it's
and
strange.
Did you like it? Did you like it? Or are you saying you're not sure?
I liked it until it got very, very dark, I think. I loved it.
Did it get bloody?
Dark. Yes, it did.
I can't do violence.
Yeah.
I find violence which is portrayed as just kind of, you know, like Killing Eve. I couldn't do that.
Oh, well, gosh. I mean, we're not onto TV yet, but we've been watching Boat People on the BBC, which is incredibly good. But my God, I mean, the violence in that is so much worse than
Killing Eve. Don't think I could deal with it. And I know it's had really good reviews, but in all those very good reviews of Boat People, it also says the violence is quite hard to stomach.
Well, it is. I mean, I try sort of covering my eyes, but you can kind of hear it as well. I mean, it really is graphic, terribly graphic. I have to go out of the room. But it's clever enough and funny enough and unusual enough, actually, for me still to want to watch it. So
okay, well, let's
it.
Finish off our TV
yes.
recommendations, then go back to theatre.
Okay.
Talking about gratuitous violence, I mean, I cannot deal with real blood and real all that kind of thing, but we are up to date with Squid Game Challenge on Netflix.
Yes, yes.
And we're just waiting for the finale to drop. And Jeff and I have been absolutely hooked.
Yeah, I've been watching it too.
Hooked like the twins on chocolate buttons. That's how hooked we are. Our television has been fucked this week. I don't know what's wrong with it. It sort of decides what we can and can't watch.
Oh,
it
no.
kind of goes into spiteful mode. It has a setting and we accidentally hit a button and it just goes into spiteful mode and says, no, we're not going to watch ITVX tonight. We're just not doing it. I'm not going to open this up because I can't be arsed. I'm in spiteful mode. So we haven't watched the end of Archie yet.
Oh, no, that's a shame.
I know!
That is spiteful of it, isn't it?
It's so dumb.
You just got to wait for it to get over
to decide itself. To get
yes,
out of spiteful
yeah,
mode
yeah.
and just be, you know, in agreeable mode. We just want it to reset. And we've turned it on and off, but no, it is absolutely... Oh, you're a little
enjoying
fucking
it, isn't
shit.
It?
Yeah.
It's anyway, enjoying it as well.
There's a
yeah.
really good... If you're looking for something for the twins, Zog. It's a Dragon School thing. It's on BBC iPlayer. Zog is great.
Oh, okay.
It's a dragon learning how to fly, how to roar, how to steal a princess. There's a Julia Donaldson collection of kids' things on BBC iPlayer, and Zog is my favourite this week.
Right.
Good
tip.
Now, we're going back to theatre. Jeff and I As I mentioned earlier, we were at the Barbican to see My Neighbour Totoro, which is, it's kind of the theatrical manifestation of a film, one of those Japanese manga type films by Studio Ghibli or Ghibli, and it's kind of magical, and there's a big monster, but he's not a monster, he's a kindly monster, and there's just massive things on stage, and it's a very physical production, and it just attracts this crowd of adults who love manga.
Wait a minute, is it for kids?
I think it is. Yes, I think it is. And yet, on press night, I'd say that the kids, there was about probably 10% maximum.
Right.
Kids. I mean, it's quite late. It goes on for nearly 3 hours. And it starts at, was it 7 or 7.30? I'm not too sure.
Oh, right. So it's not aimed at kids, really.
Well, it isn't. It isn't. You know, maybe older kids. I saw lovely Connie Huck there with her boys. And they were sort of about 10, I should say.
Right.
So, you know, they were being allowed a late night.
Yeah.
And they absolutely loved it. And, I mean, it's obviously a really well-known film to some kids because they dress up like there's a character, a really sweet four-year-old girl called May in it, who's actually played by a 30-year-old woman in the most... I mean, she's the physical embodiment of a four-year-old. She's incredible. Jeff loved it. He really loved it. I thought it was beautifully done. It's an RSC production. We also saw Lambda Daisy. Now, Lambda Daisy was in her college production of a Mike Bartlett play, which I don't think is often performed, called Scandal Town. And Daisy shone, we have to say. And I know that I would be biased anyway, but out of a cast of about 15, 20, I'm not too sure, I didn't count, I would say Daisy was the star. There were a couple of other people who were sort of almost on a par, but she had a couple of characters, and one character was so fearlessly funny. She just kind of just went for this really odd voice and a really odd look, and she was just... She's very clever. She's clever. She's funny. And I think that if there is any justice in the world, she will make it. So well done, Lambda Daisy.
Books.
Right, books, Judith. Books.
Well, I'm really enjoying The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne.
And well, I'm not surprised.
It is so good. I mean, it was written in 2017, so it's not a sort of current book, but it's very, very classy book. Beautifully performed on Audible. And actually, I hadn't realised, but John Boyne wrote The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, and makes many other books. Great
author. I mean, he's incredibly prolific, because after you said you were reading that, I did a bit of John Boyne Googling, because I just thought, why have I not read any Boyne when everybody rates him so highly?
Yes, I am surprised, because he's been writing for a long time. No, written some great stuff. I really would recommend it. It's, I mean, in fact, two or three people emailed on the from the gang, didn't they, to say
yeah,
it's one of the best books
favorite book.
Read.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's, absolutely.
It's a marvellous read. Yeah.
Well, I'm sort of quite into your recommendations at the moment, Judith, because the last recommendation worked for me. I finished Good Material by Dolly Alderton, and I loved it. I absolutely loved Andy. She writes this character of a sort of middle-ranking male stand-up, and it is so touching and sweet and believable.
It is believable, which is quite a feat.
And some of it you think, well, that couldn't happen, but it's still believable. I really, really loved his voice. I adored it. And it's three quarters his voice. And then the last possibly hour of the book, the girlfriend takes over and explains why their relationship kind of crumbled. And I have to say that I preferred Andy's voice to the girlfriend's voice, just because the comedy was so sharp.
Yeah.
But I think it probably did need the girlfriend's response.
It's
a very clever, superior. You would have called it Once Upon a Time chick lit, but nobody uses that phrase anymore. It's women's fiction, and it's very... it kind of, for people of our generation, it really does shine a light on the life of the 30-something, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Very much so. And I think particularly with what happened to Ellen...
Very sort of relevant, really. But it's so interesting because it's from the male point of view. That's what's... She's done that very, very cleverly.
Really, really cleverly. It's a complete... And the... I wish I could remember the name of the actor who plays Andy in the audio, but he's...
Isn't he good?
So good. There's a... Because he's got this slight Brummie accent, but his character... And this... I don't want this to sound patronising or anything, but he's so deeply rooted as a Midlander. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it does. I mean, I'm from Birmingham. I'm a Brummie. So yeah. I'm allowed to say that.
But his character is just
a little bit flawed, a little bit on the back foot, a little bit not quite at the high table, a little bit which is all about being a Brummie, actually.
Yeah, but in some respects, but also just so endearing. So endearing. Anyway, we are almost at the end of the beasting.
Oh, are you going to do it before the end of the year? Are you going to get there?
I'm not sure because Jeff's up in another bedroom now because he's got his sinusitis is flared up. He got a chill. He was installing some pictures in a restaurant for over the Christmas season. He's got some prints for sale in a restaurant called Curious Kudu in Peckham. And it was just very cold when they were installing, and he came back, and he was so cold to the bone.
Oh, God.
And he couldn't warm up, and, you know, he's not very well at the moment. So I'm at my sister's now, so I have to go back and look after him.
Very impressed. Very impressed, Jenny.
But I just downloaded an Agatha Christie because I needed a palate cleanser, Judith. I just thought I need to go back to something very comforting and easy. And I'm doing a Miss Marple.
Okay.
And it's called The Sleeping Murder or something. It's a really good one. I think that I have chosen well. We have an email plea to you before we go into the weekly emails from you.
Yes.
We would very much like you to send us photos of your best and worst Christmas crafts, decorations, etc., cooking disasters, all sorts of things.
Yes, and also maybe some Christmas sort of, you know, good and bad Christmases, perhaps. I mean, basically, we're doing a Christmas show next week, are we not? We're meeting. And there might be, there might be some pork pies being shared out. I don't know.
Well, no, we're not having pork pies in the studio, Judith. A, because the mini ones aren't very good, the ones that I'm familiar with anyway. But B, we're going out for lunch. You can't have pre-lunch pork pies.
Well, okay, but we might have some other nibbles. Nibbles are really bossy.
I don't want to spoil my appetite. We're going out for lunch.
That's up to you. That's up to you. Christmas
party.
Okay,
I've already checked the menu.
Me too. It's tragic, isn't it? Tragic.
Okay. Emails from you lot. Jane, 67 and 5 months.
Yes.
She says, wanted to say a huge thank you for making me laugh out loud every week. Thanks more heartfelt than usual, as last two Fridays have been pretty grim. First Friday, I was ghastly as I had to do the most horrendous, frankly, medieval bowel preparation and purge prior to a colonoscopy the next day. We basically, she said, what a literally shitty experience that was. And we got her through a colonoscopy. And happily, nothing sinister found, so we're very pleased and glad about that. Well done.
It's nice, though, isn't it, to get somebody through a colonoscopy? I mean, I think, you know, that's a job well done for us. Really?
Well done us.
Well done us.
Someone else also wrote, she'd been, I can't find her email address, but she'd gone to visit her younger sister's new baby, and the baby was really struggling to feed, and the doctors said, you know, it's time the baby got onto solids, and the baby wasn't enjoying solids, and our listener just remembered all the stuff Arlo had been through and suggested maybe this was the case. And it turned out it was very much the case. And the baby has quite a massive tongue tie and we'll be seen to in January. So, you know.
That's extraordinary, isn't it? I mean, Well, you see how useful we are?
Yes, but it seems like this tongue tie problem is international.
It is. And, well, as you know, both the twins had it, one particularly much worse than the other. So, yes, the more people that know about it, the better, actually. Is
absolutely.
Is the truth.
OK, other emails, Judith?
Yes. Now, Emma, I don't think she's told us how old she is, tut-tut, says that she has suggested that we have an owl special greeting.
A bit like, I suppose, a... oh, here you are. Love you both and think we could do with an owl special greeting, or you both need to design a pin badge for us to wear. A bit like... Oh, Emma Hall, 50 and 8 months. I beg your pardon.
Yes.
She has said how old she is. A bit like the Masons, do you mean, Emma? I mean, is it
oh, I don't think we want knees out. Not with the state of my knees, Judith. That would just upset people. And legally, I don't think I'm allowed to show my knees in public. Another one from Diane, 55 years, 8 months. Hi, yes, here we go again. At this time of the year, one of my own personal traditions is to watch the Grumpy Old Women Christmas. The full show is now on YouTube. I can quote it word for word.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's a bit terrifying.
Jenny and Judith, you look great.
Well,
then in brackets, it was first aired in 2004, apparently. That's nearly fucking 20 years ago.
Of course we look great.
Yeah, Judith and Mike and the girls were roped into full effect, top-notch, funny and festive, and still all holds true.
Oh, well, that's very sweet, Diane. It really is.
I cannot get over the fact that is nearly 20 years old.
That is
insane.
That feels like a mistake. It just feels like, no, it can't be true, but... God.
Oh my God, Judith.
I know. Listen to us.
Where is that? Two decades. Where's it gone?
Bloody hell. God, we were young, weren't we?
I mean, we were doing Grumpy Old Women.
I know. What did we know about
it? We knew nothing. I hadn't even gone through the menopause. I was about 45.
Bloody hell. I know.
2004. I was 44.
I can't do the sums quick enough. Oh, it's easy for you.
It's easy for me because born 1960. Yeah. It's much easier. Okay, and we have a big thanks, don't we?
We have a huge thanks to Stephen, 45 and 5 months, who lives in Athens. And we kind of knew this was coming, but Stephen, you sent us a huge hamper of Greek goodies. And with it came this extraordinarily lovely letter, basically to say that he's listened to us from the beginning and that he wanted to sort of share a bit of the kind of Greek magic. I think he must be, you know, British and lives out there and runs a cookery school, the Athens Cookery School. Yes, I know, my ears pricked up as well. And he said if we'd like to go and do some cookery classes, we could. But thank you, Stephen. I mean, honestly, there's a load of stuff in there that I've really started to look at. And I will share.
Because it got sent to your house. I know this because you decided that it would be a nice idea to text me at 6:15 a.m. to say that you had received a massive hamper of Greek goodies.
It was excited.
Yes, I know. 6:15 a.m. Punishable offence. No text, Judith, before 8 a.m. That is the rule, unless it's an emergency, in which case, any time. Any old time. You know, if your legs are hanging off or whatever. But you know, and it was good news. But as I said to you... I said, super, but it's 6:15 a.m.
I hadn't even noticed, you know. I've been up for hours and I was overexcited.
How can you be up for hours?
Yes,
it's not even light.
Well. I know. Well, it's not that I want to get up. But anyway, I'm one of the early risers. It's not owls, is it, the early rise? No, that's the wrong thing.
Larks.
They're larks.
Oh, maybe we need a subgroup.
Yes, we met. You know, we
You know, like the brownie guys, and you have the elves
patrol.
And the goblins, and
I'm in lark patrol. Which patrol are you?
I'm a cross between, aren't I? Because I'm certainly not a late to bed girl. I mean, I think that I might be in sloth patrol.
Sloth patrol.
Okay,
right.
You're lark patrol. I'm sloth patrol.
Okay,
we are all owls, though.
Done.
Okay, right. We will love you all and leave you all until this time next week.
Yes.
So do send us. Go on, remind us of the address, Judith. You've got it on a post-it note on your machine.
I've actually memorised it, which is, you know, quite extraordinary after 5 years. olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
We've got to go. We have to go because we've got other things to do. And I've got some more Christmas cards to make. And I'm very busy. Very busy woman. Take care, everybody. Lots and lots of love. Judith and Daisy, see you next week in person.
Toodlepip.
Bye.
Thank you. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.